in a slight break from technology now. I've got some props to help me out with my talk, and none of them involve PowerPoint, which is quite exciting for me. So the first thing, and the main question about all of this, is this question. So what? That's the point I want you to take away today. So what? We've heard the reading, we've thought about it maybe, but so what? What difference does it make? And we'll return to this in a moment. Now, I realise that for some people, talking to other people is a struggle. And actually, the thought of actually having to do something in a service might be a struggle for you. And if you are that person or those people, please don't fret. But in a moment, I'm going to ask you to actually do some discussion and talk to the people around you. If that isn't for you, if you don't really want to discuss with people around you, then that's fine. Just sit quietly. That's okay. So my first prop for today is this. It's a clock. According to that, it's 22 minutes past 10. The question to start with is about time, therefore. What would you do if there were only 12 hours left of Earth? So supposing, for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fans here, supposing the Vogon destroyer fleet is about to come and destroy the Earth. It's coming down, you have 12 hours, you found out about this. In 12 hours' time, our planet is going to be destroyed in order to make way for a supergalactic expressway to come through. You know there's 12 hours left. What would you do in those 12 hours? So I invite you now to talk to the people around you and think about, you know there are 12 hours left. What are you going to spend your time doing? How would you fill your time? And then I will get my glamorous assistant to come around and take some feedback. So please do, discuss. 12 hours left. What are you going to do? Okay, so because the Vogons are coming, we haven't actually got all day to discuss this, so Derek's going to come round. Anyone got any thoughts they'd like to share? What would you do with your final 12 hours? Sorry, can you say that again now the microphone's come on?
Spend it with family, go to Reigate, Kenilworth, be with family, and then probably go to church. Eat lots, don't sleep, don't get drunk, probably come to church, and have a good time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
Anyone over here?
Go on, you were all discussing. There was this big, excited buzz. Please be fair to feedback. There are no right or wrong answers.
I think we would have all our family together and have a meal.
Okay, family together and a meal. That seems to be a common theme. We've got someone here.
Hang on. Go and watch Arsenal in the FA Cup final.
What a depressing way to spend your last 12 hours.
I would build a modernised ark, and then using our faith in God, we would move some mountains and throw them at the galactic invaders and kill them all and then celebrate, because, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Frida had one.
I should go to sleep for 3 hours at least, and the rest of the time I should be sitting with my family just saying, well, this is it. No more tidying up. Leave it. God bless.
Excellent. Anyone more? We've got one at the back there. This is just to get Derek to have some exercise and jogging around, you see.
Praise the Lord, because he's valuable.
Praise the Lord. Excellent. So, this brings me on to my second prop then, which is this. The flannel. Looking at what Jesus did when he knew he had 12 hours left. Now, like many of you, he got his friends around and he gathered together and they celebrated together and they had a meal together. But look what else Jesus did. He then strips off his clothes so he can be the servant, and he kneels down and washes the feet of the people that he was with. Jesus didn't spend his time in some sort of hedonistic way. But Jesus took the time to act as a servant. And Jesus knew that this was his last time. Chapter 13, we heard, it was before Passover, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and to return to the Father. Jesus knew what was coming up, and yet he chose to spend his time serving and getting out his flannel and washing people's feet. And we come to this one. In my bag of wonders, this is a power lead. It's actually the power lead for my monitor, which currently doesn't work because this is here. And we're thinking about power. There's two things about power here. The first one is about Jesus' power. Jesus knew that he'd come from God and would go back to God. He also knew that the Father had given him complete power. So, during the meal, Jesus got up, removed his outer garment and wrapped a towel around his waist, and so on. Jesus knew that he had this power. It wasn't despite of this that he was washing people's feet. It was because of this, because he wanted to show what God was like. And so Jesus then washed his disciples' feet. Jesus, the one who knew that he had all this power, Jesus, God incarnate, gets down on the floor and washes his disciples' feet. Now, you may have spotted in the reading that not all the disciples were overly happy at the thought of having their feet washed. But when he came to Simon Peter, that disciple asked, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't really know what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "You'll never wash my feet," Peter replied. Now, if you've got a copy of the news sheet, you'll see there's a question on the back of that, which asks, why do you think Peter didn't want Jesus to wash his feet? And again, I invite you to discuss this with the people around you. Why was Peter resistant to Jesus washing his feet? What are your thoughts on this? Do talk to the people around you. Okay, glamorous assistant, could you pop round with a microphone and take some feedback? What do people think? Why didn't Peter let Jesus wash his feet?
Because that was a slave's job, and he knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and he didn't want the Son of God doing a slave's job.
Okay, it was a slave's job. Yes, he didn't want the Son of God doing a slave's job. Fair enough. Someone over in the south aisle.
God was higher than him.
Sorry, I didn't catch that. Could you say it again?
He felt that God was higher than him.
He felt that God was higher than him. Yeah. Okay. And just take one more from Reuben here, who's got his hand up. No, don't ask Reuben. Okay. If you want to know what Reuben's going on in Reuben's mind, then ask him afterwards. Well, I'll take Henry as our last one then.
He didn't want his best friend to do such a menial task.
Yeah. Now, when I was thinking about this, my thoughts were that Peter was embarrassed by this. This broke all the social conventions. If you were here last week when Ruth was stealing my sermon, she was talking about there that this was the job of the lowest slave. This was not even Jewish slaves doing this because it was too menial a task. And there's Jesus, not the way it should be. This is the rabbi, the teacher, taking a role reversal, taking the form of the lowest slave. So Peter's embarrassed. Possibly, some people think that the disciples generally were embarrassed because none of them had thought to do it for Jesus. But Peter's saying no. But also, I did wonder whether Peter didn't want to admit that he needed Jesus to do something for him. Maybe he thought that he could do everything by himself, and Jesus washing his feet was giving some of that control over to Jesus. Jesus says that we too need to be washed by him. Verse 8 says, "If I don't wash you," Jesus told him, "you don't really belong to me." So maybe we too need to allow him to have control over some areas of our lives. Areas that perhaps we don't want to give up to Jesus. Areas that we think, actually, I'm doing fine. God, you can have this much of my life, but these bits I'm keeping to myself. Maybe that's something to be pondering over this week, about thinking about what areas of my life am I not giving to God? What am I holding back from to allow God to say no to God and not allowing Jesus to come in and to wash our feet? And then back to where we started. Back to this one. So what? Oh, too big. So what? What does this actually mean? Jesus says that we should be washing each other's feet. Do you understand what I've done? You call me your teacher and Lord, and you should, because that's who I am. And if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you should do the same for each other. I've set you the example, and you should do for each other exactly what I've done for you. Now, I was pondering this week and trying to think, what does that actually mean for us in today's society? Does it mean that we should always carry a flannel around with us? And if it does, then I'm onto a winner because I've got one already. But does it mean something else? What does it actually mean? Because nowadays we don't need our feet washed. As you saw with Rob, his feet weren't dirty. He'd washed them earlier, his socks had kept the dirt off them. But what in our 21st century Ipswich might that mean? this idea of washing each other's feet, of being servants of each other? Now, I don't have an answer to this question, and I'm going to throw it open to you to think about. I'm going to ask you to discuss it now and have a little chat about it. And then Derek's going to lead us in some prayers. And after we've come to celebrate all that Jesus has done for us at communion, then I'll take some feedback. So you've got a little bit of time to ponder it. What might this actually mean? If Jesus says we should wash each other's feet, and realistically that isn't something that needs doing now, what might that mean for us as Christians today? How can we be washing each other's feet? So in your groups that you were chatting about, go back to that now and say, what does that mean for us? How can we follow Jesus' command to wash each other's feet in today's society? Have a few minutes to chat about this. So we return to my question I started and ended my talk with. So what? And I wondered, have any of you thought of, what does this actually mean today in terms of washing one another's feet? Does anyone have any feedback they would like to share from your discussions, things that people have thought of? Henry does. Thank you, Henry.
I think we were all agreed that we'd be equally reluctant to have our feet washed because it's quite personal. Perhaps a parallel today is if you took in somebody's washing, smalls and all, and did them all. That's a sort of more modern way of that sort of humbling, and also equally embarrassing for the person who's giving you the washing, reflecting Peter's, surely not my smalls.
Thank you.
It's interesting this should come up in the sermon today about so what. I've been praying about sanctuary, obviously being very involved in it, and I felt God telling me that we've got to own sanctuary as a church before we go out to other churches. We already have Margaret from another church joining us. Not to prick anybody too hard, but if God's laid upon your heart that you could help with sanctuary, you just come down as a home group representative when your home group is represented down there. I just pray that that will release perhaps one or two more to take on, even once every 8 weeks, just something to help with that outreach.
Okay, thank you. We've got a hand up here. Excellent.
We thought of two things. One about as Jesus met with his friends, that it was about us serving one another as the body of Christ, but also it was about us allowing others to serve us, and that isn't always easy.
Yeah, thank you. So I said I didn't really have an answer, and I still don't, and I take what you've said, and I think this is something that needs us to think about over the coming days, weeks, months. What does it actually mean to wash one another's feet? How can we be serving others? This isn't something that needs to stop now. When I asked you to discuss it, there was quite a lot of discussion, although people seem a bit reticent when you stick a microphone in front of them, but that's fine. But do keep discussing this. If you are part of the church's Facebook group, I'll put something on there later on today, a chance for you to put down any comments. But do keep talking about it. We're going to have coffee in a moment. Talk to people about it then. What might this mean? How can we do what Jesus has commanded us to go out and wash each other's feet? What does that mean? Maybe it is, as Henry says, taking in someone's washing. Maybe it is going out and doing the sanctuary. Maybe it's allowing people to serve us as well. But do keep thinking on it and ask God, what does he think for you? Because I think this is quite a personal one. Because we don't all need our feet washed, it's a bit more individual. What does that mean for you on your front line? Let's pray about that now. Father God, we pray that you would guide us as we consider about how to wash each other's feet. Oh Jesus, you commanded us to follow your example. And we pray that you'd speak to each of us here as we look to what that might mean for us in our lives and on our front lines as we go out and wash each other's feet and allow our own feet to be washed. Amen.